This is an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is a community organisation and relies on volunteer and listener support. To learn more about what we do, visit rtrfm.com.au.
This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it.
There's a real hypocrisy from the big corporations.
The people from below will push for real change.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?
G'day, we are here on Indie Media on RTRFM 92.1. We're broadcasting from the unceded lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people, and we'd like to offer our respects to them and their elders past and present, and acknowledge that this always was and always will be Aboriginal land. My name's Joni Boyd, in the hot seat today, and I'm joined by Zoe Theodore. Hello, Zoe.
Hey, Joni. How are we doing today?
I'm well. I'm a little sore from footy training because the Recklink Cup is coming up.
Yeah, it's quite exciting to have you on board this year.
I've pushed myself a little bit too hard to get fit, and now I've got myself some shin splints.
I mean, we've got a few weeks. Like, the game is on the 6th of October at Leadable Oval, so I guess we'd love to have all our little Indie Media listeners down and supporting us.
Yeah,
but I just want to give thanks to Jeff for this morning's The Record.
Cheers, Jeff. Looking good.
Yeah. Jeff never looks bad, though. Maybe you should make a comment of the day that he doesn't look as great. And then
wow,
be like,
Jeff.
Jeff, you dropped the ball today.
Oh, he's loving that. Jeff is baby girl. We've got some pretty heavy stuff today. Lots of stuff about war and arms dealing. What have you got for us, Zoe?
Yeah, so I spoke to Wade from Political Intifada, which is an activist group within the Palestinian Solidarity Movement here in WA. So Political Intifada has a particular focus on considered and targeted efforts in holding our federal and state members of parliament accountable for their complacency and inaction when it comes to Israel's indiscriminate attacks on the Palestinian people. And this past week, they had actions including at federal cabinet meetings, fundraising dinners, as well as parliamentary offices. So we discussed the current situation in Palestine, the lack of action from the Labor government, as well as unpacking the criticism that comes around the performative rallying and how effective that can be versus these direct actions and how to maybe best mobilize and get involved in activism at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. I've got something quite related, a sort of catch up with Disrupt Land Forces. Ray was chatting to them last week ahead of their plans to disrupt Land Forces, which is this massive arms expo that's happening over in Naarm, Melbourne. All of the big arms manufacturers and arms dealers are going to be showcasing all of their tanks and bombs and security technologies and stuff like that. The disruptions have already kicked off. A little bit earlier, I spoke to Lewis from Disrupt Land Forces, getting a little bit of an update on sort of what's happened so far and what's to come.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?
Let's get into our first story of the day.
Yeah, something a bit heavier. So, as I said earlier, I had a chat to Wade from Political Intifada, which has a particular focus on these well-considered and targeted efforts in holding the elected members accountable for their inaction when it comes to what's going on in Palestine. So I started by asking Wade, who is a member of the group and one of the organisers, to provide a brief overview of the current situation in Palestine.
Well, the present situation is the government of Israel is beyond anything else on the planet. It is a far-right extremist government. This is nothing to do with what Judaism is about. These are extremists who have a political motivation in seeing themselves as entitled to the entire historic land of Palestine, and are very happy with the concept of ethnic cleansing and genocide. This is the actual government. This is not fringe people on a street corner. This is the actual government. Netanyahu, he is in no way a moderate. If he was in Australia, he would be beyond the pale in Australia. There's really no comparable politician in Australia that you could say to Netanyahu. And the people in his government, so you would have heard Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, these names, these are individuals who have their own political parties, and these are fundamentalist, extremist, murderous individuals. So you've got to start with that and then look at the balance of forces. Israel's a nuclear-armed state with an army, with an air force, with a navy, and there are two civilian populations in Gaza of Palestinians and Palestinians in the West Bank, East Jerusalem. So you can just easily just dial up a map and have a look. Those are the forces sort of on the ground there. And what people are seeing is a manifestation of that, a murderous government, military superiority, a civilian population at their mercy. And that's why the International Court of Justice has called it a plausible case of genocide.
Despite the occupation of Palestine and Israeli-Palestinian conflicts going on since the late 19th century, a lot of the focus at present has been reactionary after Hamas did bomb Israel on the 7th of October, 2023. So this has now been a year. How dire has that situation become for Palestinians? And speaking to our own government's position, Anthony Albanese himself once was a staunch supporter of the Free Palestine movement. However, now as the leader of the Labour Party and our incumbent Prime Minister, he seemingly has taken this fence-sitting, cotton-wool-in-the-ears stance on the matter, where he says he supports a ceasefire and he says he supports a two-state solution, but he's saying it, but nothing's actually coming from anything he is saying. So can you speak a little bit to that?
Well, there's a saying that the first casualty of war is truth. What people understand happening really will depend on where you're getting your information from. If you're getting it from the bubblegum news of 7 or 9 news, you might see a little bit that's right, but usually it's spin. But most importantly, the spin is coming from our own politicians as to what is occurring over there. As to where it's going right now, it's getting worse, because as with any bad behaviour, unless something is done, the bad behaviour gets worse. Israel has had the International Court of Justice call it out, order it to stop doing things, order it to get the aid into Gaza, and Israel's ignored it. And there's been no consequences. And when there's no consequences to bad behaviour, the bad behaviour gets worse. And in Australia, what our politicians are doing, with notable exceptions, of course, is enabling this bad behaviour by not calling this out for what it is, which is a genocide happening in real time. One thing I'll say is that the Federal Labor's position is not for a ceasefire. They don't actually support a ceasefire. What they're doing is they are qualifying the use of the word ceasefire. It sounds like they're calling for a ceasefire, but they're not really calling for a ceasefire. They've put all these little caveats on it. We want a humanitarian ceasefire. We want a humanitarian pause. We want a ceasefire. A temporary ceasefire so there can be steps towards a permanent ceasefire. They don't support a ceasefire at all. Ceasefire is stop shooting now, stop bombing now. And what they've done is they've linked the ceasefire issue to the release of hostages. And let's look at where this is going. Netanyahu now is being openly accused within Israel, not by the majority of Israel, but within Israel, of not actually caring about the hostages at all. If you actually cared, you'd want an immediate ceasefire and you can negotiate their release. That's what would happen in any other hostage situation. Negotiate first, shoot later. The reverse has happened here with all the consequences. Labor, and to come to Albanese's position, staunch supporter 20 years ago, 23 years ago, there he was speaking in support of the Palestinians. Look what's happened. He has crawled his way up the political ladder in this country. Now he sits at the top. And as far as he's concerned, the Palestinians are an irritant to his political career. It's not a measure of Albanese. It's more a measure of what Canberra does to people. Canberra's changed Albanese. Albanese hasn't changed Canberra. And a lot of people in this country are starting to see what political power in this country really means and how bloodthirsty you need to be to climb to the top of it.
Polling in Australia currently shows that the majority of Australians do want a ceasefire. And this is coming not only from those on the left, but the population in the centre and centre-right politically as well. A lot of this has come from the efforts of the Palestinian Solidarity Movement and activist news media. That said, there has been ongoing actions, pickets, rallies, week in, week out, and there is this argument how the efforts are potentially more performative than they are effective in getting the message across. So can you speak to this personally as an activist, ways in which people can get involved, which may be more appropriate and impactful in this situation?
Well, there have been efforts in Australia that have, I think, produced more of a political crisis for Labor than other efforts. The rallies have played a role, but I can tell you this from the Iraq War campaign from 20 years ago, that numbers on the street on the weekend can be ignored by governments. But actions are happening and they need to be more than rallies. Rallies have their role, but it needs to be more than the rallies. The government's already decided that those rallying on the streets are not going to vote for them. They've already decided that. So as far as they're concerned, those numbers can keep rallying. And the government knows that they may will scoop up the votes eventually by preferences, but no one rallying on the streets is going to tick elbow for the next prime minister. It's pretty simple. But the politicians are moving now into an electoral mode. They're trying to work with their electorates, speak to their electorates, and that's where they need to be challenged and confronted. And they are getting a free ride. The corporate media... and you're a notable exception there, Zoe, with RTRFM. But the corporate media are completely letting them off the hook on the question of Gaza and the genocide. Every time they get interviewed, the government's got its talking points and then the journalists will move on. None of them are getting pinned on how our government is enabling this genocide by disguising the reality of what's happening. Why is the Israeli ambassador still in this country when Israel's committing genocide, as has been found by the ICJ, that it's a plausible case of genocide? Why is the ambassador still here? The government just wants to go ahead with business as usual. And we can see with the housing crisis now the cost of living, the government's business as usual is alienating wider and wider layers of people in this country. That's the problem they're facing now. And they're going to be hit big time when this election comes. But it's so important that we organise, because we don't want what's happening in Europe, where all the anger and disaffection can go to the right. It can end up backfiring and ends up with people who are worse than those that we've currently got, because it's been there's been a manipulation towards racism, scapegoating, nationalism, etc. It has to swing leftwards, and it won't swing leftwards consistently without a level of political attraction on the left.
So, Wade, you are part of Political Intifada, as I mentioned earlier. How exactly is Political Intifada different, I suppose, to these other Palestinian solidarity activist groups? And how can people get involved in Political Intifada particularly?
Okay, well, I said before, the first casualty of war is the truth. Face the facts here. The facts are that our government continues to put spin on what's happening. And I heard a good word used for it. They're disguising the reality of what is occurring. And it's a bit like Ukraine. We get spin from our government about what's happening in Ukraine. It's spin. And it's spin designed to justify the war making. And I'll just make this point very quickly. The hypocrisy of accusing and rightly so, accusing Russia of various war crimes, but then and wanting Russian diplomats expelled, and then doing absolutely nothing for the same crimes that are occurring by Israel against a civilian population is quite apparent to a lot of people. But coming back to political intifada, as everyone would know, the word intifada is Arabic for uprising. And political intifada, political uprising, first and foremost, we have a political task in this country to call out what this government is doing. And if that's done consistently, and our politicians who go to Canberra, vote against ceasefires, and then fly to their various home states and then enjoy themselves while they're away from Canberra, those days have to end. Those politicians are responsible and playing a role in an ongoing genocide in real time. We need to call them out. We need to be challenging them. And they will see this happen in their electorates around the country. And Labor is now being ripped apart internally by those who genuinely join Labor to see a better world and are seeing how bloodthirsty its leadership is. So as to how people can get involved with political intifada, look us up on Instagram. We've got an email address, contact@politicalintifada.org. So there's an email, there's an Instagram account. People want to get involved, get involved. But the starting point for any group or any person who wants to seriously tackle this issue and do something constructive is actually just face the facts.
So that was Wade from Political Intifada talking about how to get involved, how to be an activist and join the Palestinian Solidarity Movement. So if you want to get involved or find out a little bit more about Political Intifada, as Wade said, they are on Instagram. It's political and then I-N-T-I-F-A-D-A, all one word. There's also an alternate email, which is politicalintifada@gmail.com.
You're listening to the Indie Media Podcast, first broadcast on RTRFM 92.1.
All right, let's get into this update on land forces. So land forces is this massive arms expo happening this week in Melbourne, where all of the big weapons manufacturers are bringing out all their wares and showing them off to, you know, governments and I'm sure private organisations as well, so they can try and sell their weapons of death and their security technologies and such. A massive coalition of activists over there called Disrupt Land Forces is doing just that. They're disrupting land forces. And we had a bit of a chat to them last week. Ray sort of got a bit of a brief of what the plan is for Disrupting Land Forces. And they've just started their campaign, their mobilisation. And so I chatted to Lewis about sort of what's gone down already and what's going to keep happening for the rest of the week over there. G'day, Lewis. Thank you for chatting to us here on Indie Media. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much. I'm really happy to be here.
No worries. So yeah, let's start with a bit of an introduction to what Land Forces is for anyone who didn't tune in last week or is unfamiliar. What is Land Forces and why does it need disrupting?
Sure. Land Forces is a weapons expo, which is running over the course of this week, and attending will be large weapons companies and manufacturers from all over the world. The event's sponsored by the state government of Victoria, and they have touted some pretty big things, including showing off tanks and advanced weaponry. All kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of the companies involved are the, you know, same groups selling weapons to Israel during the ethnic cleansing that's going on in Gaza. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. We have companies that have been invited, such as Elbit Systems, who is one of the largest companies propping up the state of Israel's military. And in line with the Geneva Convention, Australia should not be supporting companies like this when they're suspected of committing genocide. Yet they're invited to come to this expo on stolen ground.
And so Disrupt Land Forces is a big group of, you know, is a big coalition of all sorts of different activist groups. Ray was chatting to you guys last week about how you've brought all sorts of groups together for this, you know, very, very clearly common cause of we don't want arms sold and paraded around, you know, by our government. I saw on your guys' socials there was this image of this big old tank driving into, I'm guessing, the convention centre, protected by over 100 cops deep in the middle of the night. Can you tell us a bit about sort of what you guys did to try and disrupt that?
This one in particular, we didn't have knowledge about. They
right,
kept this
yep.
move pretty top secret.
Mm.
But it just so happened that they had two military helicopters flying over to protect for a period of what we heard was about 4 hours, transporting this this tank. So, and then, yeah, aided by up to 100 police officers, which we estimate would be around $500,000 to just, you know, do this small transfer and to protect a private weapons company asset. And that's, you know, taxpayer money that's being spent to protect private merchandise, which just seems absurd. That's $500,000 that could have been spent on any sort of social or community support that's desperately needed during this period.
Yeah, not exactly where most people are expecting or wanting their taxes to go. And I'm imagining this tank, like, just sitting in the middle of the convention centre, like one of those, you know, cars that you see in the shopping centre that you can go in the prize draw to win. I'm imagining that it's just there to as a display item to sell, and you've got, you know, 500k of taxpayer money protecting just the entrance of this tank, just the absurdity of it all.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so you guys have been disrupting roads and stuff for the past couple of days. How has that gone? How has the sort of police reaction and police presence been?
Yeah, we had an autonomous route block one of the off-ramps. Of the connecting, like, kind of highway to the area, to where the expo is. And they stopped the bumping for about 2 hours, which was really awesome to see. Other than that, so far, yesterday we had a bit of some discrepancy with the general Palestine protest throughout the day. There was a bit of a scuffle, which has been popped up quite a lot about with the media, which is unfortunate. And otherwise, we're seeing police lining around the exhibition center. Pretty much every 3 meters, there's a police officer behind huge, huge fences that they've also assembled to protect the whole area. Yeah, so it's looking almost like a military complex out there.
So let's talk about this truth-telling event that kicked off the mobilisation. I believe it was with Camp Sovereignty. Could you tell us a bit about sort of what the goal there was?
Yeah, that was last night, so Sunday night. We had a beautiful meeting at Camp Sovereignty, which was a truth-telling circle held by elders from the area, and other elders from around the country also came. And they shared, you know, beautiful and confronting stories of challenges that mob are facing all across the continent. Some really personal stories which were really moving and powerful. And then ultimately we got their blessing to be on Wurundjeri land and to conduct the mobilisation. It was a really beautiful ceremony.
Yeah, I imagine, you know, sort of contextualising the larger you know, the arms trade within like the settler colonial project, which is very relevant at the moment. So the rest of the week, this convention, Land Forces, is running for a couple of days, and you guys plan on sort of disrupting it as much as you can. Sort of what's that going to look like?
Yeah, so our clear demands have been that we want to stop exports from Australia, weapons exports from Australia. We want to disarm Israel, the state of Israel, and call a weapons embargo. Some of the other activities that we're running throughout the week, we have a big mobilization from students of Palestine. We have a motorcade today, which will be really cool, displaying how many weapons manufacturers we have just within the vicinity of the Melbourne CBD, which is quite a few. And yeah, a lot of other activities that people can get involved in that are not directly requiring protest, that people can just come and get educated, can listen to important information and also get involved in other ways to kind of engage with the space and, help us disrupt.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Imagine you're expecting a little bit of trouble from law enforcement, but you've sort of got plans in place to have like legal aid and stuff like that.
Absolutely, yeah. We're very fortunate to be running with a pretty good class of seasoned veterans that have a lot of knowledge around these kind of activities. So, yeah, we have a wonderful legal team in place to help anyone if they do come into any kind of confrontation with police. Also, a medical team, a great kitchen team feeding everyone each day. We've really thought about it to make it as accessible as possible and also as inviting as possible, because ultimately we're community and we're all about community and people, and that's what we're standing for. And you know, we think that that's really, really resonates through the way that we operate.
For sure. So I'll start wrapping up here, Lewis. You know, obviously we're broadcasting out here in Boulu, way out west. So I don't imagine a lot of our listeners have the opportunity to get involved directly. But is there any way that we can sort of lend you our support, chuck you some money, anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find us at disruptlandforces.org. And through that, you can find out more information, a whole heap of ways that you can get involved and learn more about the cause, different things that you can write in about, and as well as a GoFundMe, which you can donate to and help us cover some costs.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Lewis. I'm sure we will be in touch after, you know, the convention has happened, and we'd love to know how it all goes. Huge solidarity to you from myself and the rest of the Indie Media crew. Is there any sort of last words you'd like to add?
What we're standing up for is humanity and the interests of all people, both within our continent and globally. We're standing alongside Indigenous people everywhere and people, frontline communities that have been affected by war and other forms of oppression. And we really believe that confronting these issues is at the core of many other problems that we're facing today.
You're listening to RTR FM 92.1. This is the Indie Media Show for another 15 minutes. Just there was Lewis from Disrupt Land Forces, where we were just catching up with that group who are, making hell at a massive arms conference emporium thing that they're doing. I don't know, what do you call it when you're selling a bunch of weapons to people?
I mean, people who love deaths.
A
convention
death
for
fest.
Death lovers. Fest.
Yeah, talking about the latest Death Fest and what they're sort of going to do to stop it.
Did refer to them as weapons of death earlier, so I think maybe.
Yeah, when I was down in the toilet, I realised that.
Convention.
The unalive Okay. I try not to laugh too much because it is actually a very serious
topic. No, it's incredibly horrible. But I mean, we're more laughing at the fact that this is the situation we're in and how ridiculous it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And how sanitized it is.
Totally.
You know, just the sheer idea of it is just so absurd to me. We've got time for a couple headlines before handing over to Seb for Out to Lunch. Zoe.
In New York, 50 activists were arrested on Thursday at the final action of the Summer of Heat series of protests at Citibank headquarters. Faith leaders, scientists, climate and peace activists gathered again in a joint protest to demand Citibank to stop funding fossil fuel projects and end the war on Gaza. However, were seen to be arrested instead. And in eastern Sudan, at least 60 people were killed when the Arbat Dam collapsed, washing away entire villages. At least 130 people in Sudan have been killed in recent days from torrential downpours and flooding. The Arbat Dam supplied all of the drinking water for the coastal city of Port Sudan, where the Sudan's military is currently based.
And Aboriginal people from the Northern Territory who had their wages stolen have reached a settlement with the Commonwealth for $202 million. Minnie McDonald launched a class action in 2021 on behalf of thousands of First Nations people who lived and worked in the NT between 1933 and 1971 and their surviving relatives. During that time, Commonwealth laws allowed First Nations people in the NT to be paid much less than the non-Indigenous people for the same work. The settlement should be paid out by the end of the year. And finally, users of PrEP treatment, the daily pill that protects people from contracting HIV, are being urged to consider alternative strategies as a shortage of the medication looms. The Therapeutic Goods Administration, the TGA, this week announced there would be shortages of tenofovir and emtricitabine combination tablets, with some brands having limited availability and others being unavailable. While some brands are expected to be back in stock by the end of the month, others may not be available until March 2025. News of the medication's shortage comes as the Kirby Institute released the latest figures on new cases of HIV being detected in Australia. With the level of new transmissions increased over the last year, the downwards turn encountered over the last decade has shown PrEP treatment has a significant effect on tackling HIV. People taking the medication are being urged to discuss with their health professional alternative strategies, including changing their dosing plan to match their sexual activity, using other safe sex strategies, including condoms, and in an emergency, accessing PEP treatment. And that is all of our headlines for this morning.
Just want to give a little bit of credit to our texter from earlier. There was a lot of words. Journey to read spontaneously, we've had time to digest that.
I've finally comprehended your text, Jane, and Jane said, it's about time someone makes sense. Phew. Thank you so much. And she also says that the government is ferelect, fiscally derelict. She says it is the new word of the year, but remember that she termed it. And someone else texted in saying, thanks, I am doing gardening. And amazing. I think I recognise that number. I don't know.
Maybe don't say the number aloud.
Oh, no. I'm not say the number or the person because they haven't said their name. But I think I have an inkling of who that is.
Anonymous Gardener. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Anonymous Gardener, for listening to the show. All right. It's time to hand over to Out to Lunch with Seb, filling in for Rian on your Monday afternoon. Thanks to, what was your fella's name?
Wade.
Thanks to Wade and thanks to Lewis for your contributions to the program. If you would like to chat to us about an action, a rally, something like that, you can hit us up on our corporate social medias or you can get in touch with the studio.
Yeah, and if you want to get involved in indie media, feel free to. We're on all the socials and we'd love to have additional input to help us here. But we're going to send you off with a track. But before we do that,
don't hate the media.
Become the media.
Thank you for listening to this RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is a community organisation and relies on volunteer and listener support. Visit rtrfm.com.au for more podcasts and other great content, as well as details on how you can support the station. You can also download our app and access RTRFM anytime and anywhere on your mobile device.